This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Your number is 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle's producing. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. A special treat today. For most of the hour, we'll be visiting with the Honorable Sharon Weston Broome, the mayor of East Baton Rouge Parish. She won the election 4 years ago with 52% of the votes and is up for re-election this year. The election is 20 weeks from tomorrow, getting close, and we'll talk with Sharon Weston Broome about that. But there is much on the agenda that is happening independent of any votes that will be counted later in the year. And a reminder that tomorrow, if things go according to plan, and I think they will, we'll be visiting at this time with none other than Roger Stone, the political consultant and strategist who, of course, has quite a history and does very few interviews, and certainly not at this time. He's scheduled to go to prison on the 30th of June, but President Trump gives every indication that he will pardon his longtime friend on charges of lying to Congress, obstruction of justice, and threatening witnesses. So Roger Stone should be an interesting guest, as always. It's been a few years since we've talked with him on the air, and he has said that he will be here tomorrow for one of his rare interviews at 9 o'clock. 877-217-5757. Sharon Weston Broome is right now dealing with the aftermath of the George Floyd killing. It was 2 weeks ago today. I suspect May 25th, 2020 will be a date that we will long remember, just like August 28th, 1955, when 14-year-old Emmett Till was killed, lynched in Money, Mississippi, 65 years ago. And Sharon Weston Broome, if you've heard her on this program, she has a personal story that relates to Emmett Till. She knew his mother. She was a student on the southeast side of Chicago at Carter Elementary, and Emmett Till's mom, Miss Mobley, was a teacher there, I think, for 23 years. And Sharon Weston Broome, both Emmett Till and George Floyd, I'm sure will have an impact on our culture long after you and I are gone and their names will resonate forevermore. But it is a sad, sad time right now in America.
It is indeed, Jim, a very sad time in America. The death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, certainly had a very powerful impact on the conscience of America and beyond. We refuse to believe that black people, when they report unequal treatment by law enforcement officials and some of their fellow white citizens, and so. It was heartbreaking. I've said this over and over again, if you have a moral compass, no matter what the color of your skin, if that was not heartbreaking for you, if that was not traumatic for you to see, then your moral compass is broken.
877-217-5757 for Sharon Weston Broome, who went to Carter Elementary in Chicago and, of course, has spent most of her life in Baton Rouge. She came here right out of college and has been here now for, I think, over 40 years.
Yep.
Yes, over 40 years. And this is her home, and she is the mayor and is up for re-election. But race is an issue all over our country. We know that. It's evident. But it's a particular race. It's an issue in the South. And as we found out, it's also an issue in places like Minneapolis. Do we have a division now that is more marked than it has been in some time?
In America, yeah. I do think we have that division here in Louisiana and Baton Rouge. But what I'm seeing, Jim, I believe that in the tragic killing of George Floyd, this tipping point is bringing those who genuinely have a disdain for racism and inequality to speak. You know, out of all of this, you have seen blacks and whites, you know, the whole spectrum of diversity speak out like never before. And it's only when people, not just people who look like me, But people who don't look like me speak out and don't remain silent, that we can transform some of the systemic racial issues that have existed for, you know, hundreds of years. And so the killing of George Floyd certainly reveals the evil and callous nature of an anti-black sentiment that has existed, and the failure to see the humanity of an entire group of people. And, you know, it's my hope and my prayer that as we move towards reform, as it relates to policies, as people who have influence speak up about the nature and the ungodliness of racism, that we will see a change. I'll tell you, I am very optimistic as I look at the younger generation who are owning this moment and offering leadership moving forward. As you know, and I think you had her on your show, Colleen Temple and a group of her fellow high school students did the first peaceful protest here in Baton Rouge. Then after that, we had a group of primarily college students who did a peaceful protest. And I will tell you, I am very thankful that individuals have been doing peaceful protests. And when I look at the people who are involved, it represents the fabric of Baton Rouge.
All right. 877-217-5757 for Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome. And talk at talklouisiana.org. Mary Patricia in Spanishtown writes, while many people are focused on whether or not we should defund the police, meaning divert funding to other community needs, I've also seen some conservative outlets suggest that we should get rid of all police unions. Does the mayor think that union busting would fix institutional racism?
I'm going to be very transparent because, you know, now is not the time to hold back. We've got to get this right. And I believe that the union, the police union, has been an obstruction to transformation and reform within the police department. Now, I will tell you that that is not painting a broad brush over every member of that union. But I've had too many instances, and, you know, this is a conversation, of course, that I'm sure Chief Paul could chime in on. You know, unfortunately, as we try to make transformation within a system, and as you try to remove those people in law enforcement who shouldn't be there, many times the union is an obstruction to weeding out the bad cops. And so we've got to face it, you know. Every police officer is not a bad police officer. We know that. But there are some that do not belong in the police department. And that's what we have been victimized by, you know, those who should not be in the police department. Obviously, the officer that killed George Floyd, he did not belong in the police department. And we've had even instances here in Baton Rouge. Let us not forget the killing of Alton Sterling. And so, you know, when you look at some individuals and you look at the list of complaints maybe that have been brought up by challenges, and, you know, we've got to get a balance here. We understand that the police are supposed to protect and serve, but we can't have a dual institution where some are protected and served and some are not, are treated, you know, unequal. And so that is, you know, that's a challenge. Now, I will tell you this, and I've probably gone a little bit too far than her question, but we have, since 2016, moved the needle. Is there room for improvement? You're absolutely right. There's room for improvement. But we have moved the needle. When I first came in office, I brought together a group of citizens and we implemented a revised use of force policy for the Baton Rouge Police Department. We then equipped every officer with body cameras. Since then, we've had funding for collective healing grants, which is an investment in our community to address community and police trauma and to improve community police relationships.
All right, hold tight. We do have to take a break in just a few seconds here. But nearly 2 weeks after the death of George Floyd, nine of the veto-proof council's 13 members in Minneapolis stood before activists and pledged to begin the process of dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department. The council didn't officially vote on a resolution, but Councilwoman Alondra Kano says the pledge signals a strong and clear direction about where this is going. We'll talk about this, and of course, we invite your participation, 877-217-5757, talk@talklouisiana.org. We'll return with more in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757, and talk@talklouisiana.org. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome is in the house, and we will take as many inquiries of her as you would like. And I know I'm getting some emails, and if you'd like to call again, 877-217-5757. Pat Inglade, the former police chief, writes, is Baton Rouge going to follow this madness in Minneapolis, or Democratic mayors going to move in the direction of defunding their police departments? What do you think?
Let me just say this. Baton Rouge is going to continue to move forward at this present time and evaluate our police department and be a transformed, improved police department. And I just want to ask Mr. Pat Inglade, is he going to be part of the solution or is he going to be part of the problem? Because a lot of the challenges that we have had, a lot of comments that have been negative about Chief Murphy Paul have come from Pat Inglade. And that disappoints me as a former chief of police.
877-217-5757 is your number for Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Don, and good morning, Mayor. So I want us to remember that there was a weekend where there was some of our police officers lost their lives when a shooter, a black man, came through town and decided that he would have a shoot 'em up. And we can't lose sight of just how life and death these situations are and the sacrifices that our police make every day.
Sir, I hope you never think that I lose sight of the fact that our police officers put their lives on the line every day. I get that, and Americans get that. I understand that, and I'll never lose sight of that. I'll never lose sight. I was not the mayor in 2016, but I'll never lose sight of all of the things that happened in 2016. I won't lose sight of what happened with Alton Sterling. I won't lose sight of what happened to those police officers that were ambushed and killed. I won't lose sight of the trauma that lies from the 2016 flood. So I understand that, and we appreciate that. But what we've got to do as a community, as citizens, we've got to have balance and understand that, yes, we have some good police officers. We do. But we have some that are not good. And that is reflective of any institution almost on the face of this earth. You have some good people and you have some bad people in institutions. And so what we need to do, united as a community, and I hope you feel my passion with this, we can't ignore the things that divide us. We've got to bring closure. And I have said that we have made progress since 2017. We have made progress in terms of closing the gap between police and the citizens they serve here in Baton Rouge. We've made progress through our collective healing grant. We've made progress in our very robust community policing department. So we have made progress, but let's not ignore what should not take place. Let's not ignore bad behavior and condone bad behavior.
All right, Karen writes, Karen Merrifield, thank you, Mayor Broom, for the billboards for Wear Orange and Ending Gun Violence. You were involved in that?
Yeah, I signed up for that a long time ago with many mayors across the country. We do have to end gun violence in every form and fashion.
All right, 877-217-5757 for the mayor. Peter in Willow Grove. Peter, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you all for letting me speak. I don't believe that defunding is right for right now because we still have some historical neglect in our community that needs to be fixed, and policing is a very good part of that, particularly when you're dealing with drugs and other things that contribute to crime. However, I would suggest that we consider shifting the risk like we do with doctors and other professions, where the liability insurance is carried by the individual officer, so their risk is assessed on a per-officer basis. So if you have more complaints, more excessive use of force, you're paying a higher premium. That way the market will price out the officers who are violating policy. And that's sort of a defunding. I mean, you're taking away the general liability insurance that they are going to have to carry on.
All right. Your response, Mayor?
I think that's a good suggestion. But let me just say this, because sometimes, you know, you need to make yourself explicitly clear. I have not said that I am going to defund the Baton Rouge Police Department. I have not said that. That is not my plan at this time. We need public safety. That is not my plan, to defund the police department. My plan is to make, to bring consistent reform to the police department, and to make sure that we look at our dollars and cents that are spent, and to make sure that people are treated equally from the police.
877-217-5757. The mayor's with us a while longer if you'd like to get in. Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Oh, yes. I wanted to ask the mayor, is it possible for the police officer that do these things, is it possible for them to get sued from out of their own bank account?
That's a question. I know that people can bring legal suits towards individuals or
civil action,
action or organizations. And so that depends on individuals. I will tell everyone that a lot of the decisions that are made in terms of discipline take place at the Police and Fire Civil Service Board. So you should get engaged at that level and see what happens in a discipline hearing. And let me just say this, Jim. I want to talk about some of the changes that we have made. I think that's very important because the other day I received a lot of emails about what are we doing here in Baton Rouge after the killing of George Floyd. We have established an accountable use of force policy. We're requiring de-escalation in situations. As I said, we equipped all officers with body cameras. We have implemented procedural justice training. We've improved and intensified the police department's officer wellness program. And we have hired Murphy Paul as chief of police. Now, let me say something about Chief Murphy Paul. Last year, and I don't know if you remember this, Jim, Chief Murphy Paul apologized to residents, especially black residents, for the killing of Alton Sterling. And he also promised that the department would do better going forward. And that made national news. He was one of the first, if not only, police chiefs of a major city to apologize to their residents. But guess what we're seeing now, Jim? Look at the television set. chiefs are apologizing all over America. They're uniting with citizens all over America. They're making commitments to do better with their departments all over America. That's what we're seeing right now on the television.
Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome is with us for a while longer, and if you'd like to call and participate in the program, we always enjoy your input, 877-217-5757, or talk at talklouisiana.org. John in New Roads writes, Mayor Broome has done an excellent job maintaining safety and commerce in East Baton Rouge, and of course, commerce has been affected dramatically by COVID-19. We'll get the mayor's take on this. And there has been legislation passed by the House and Senate in Louisiana regarding the formation of St. George. What does that mean? We'll find out from Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome, and we will return with more from the mayor after this brief timeout on Talk Louisiana. Now the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. We're honored to have the mayor here, as we regularly do. And, of course, as we get closer to the election, we'll have some of her opponents on, and she is, like most people in the public eye, in a prominent position, going to face some opposition. The election, 141 days away. She'll be on the same ballot as President Trump, Senator Cassidy, Garrett Graves. Be a busy ballot come November. 877-217-5757. And before we get to some more questions about the two weeks in the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd, what about St. George? There was a bill in the legislature that did pass both chambers. Does it really have much effect? What do you think, Mayor?
Senate Bill 423, I would call it a placeholder. It really does not have any effect until the litigation is over with, and depending on the outcome of the litigation. And so we continue to move forward with the litigation. There is, at the present time, there is not a city of St. George because litigation does exist. And so we'll continue moving forward with that optimistically.
James Sampson writes, what are the guidelines in Baton Rouge for officer deactivation of body cams? He says this is something I've seen repeatedly in the news with body cams that were either malfunctioning or turned off near the time of an event the video is wanted for. What do you make of
well,
the problems we've had on this front?
What I learned about three weeks ago, I had a visit at the Baton Rouge Police Department, and I was shown how now the technology with the body cameras has advanced, that as soon as an officer pulls his or her gun out of the holster, the body camera comes on. And it also triggers any other officer that is in a certain perimeter of that officer, their body camera now comes on automatically. So the advanced technology of body cameras makes them more viable and formidable. And of course, there is a policy that says that the officer should have their body cameras on at all times.
All right, here's a question from Tracy at the Capitol regarding the Drew Brees dust-up. At first, he criticized players who were going to kneel for the national anthem, and then he did apologize. And now the president of the United States is saying Drew should not have apologized. And here's President Trump. We should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute or a hand on heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. And then in all caps, no kneeling. And then Brees responded to President Trump by saying, through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It never was, never has been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black community. Who has the better argument, Sharon Weston Broome?
Drew Brees. he brought it, and I'm glad that he got it. He got it right. And so even that, what went on with Drew Brees is an example of what is needed in our communities, in America, in Baton Rouge. Obviously, he didn't understand it. And when he was enlightened by some of his colleagues and fellow team members, then he...
And his coach.
That he immediately said, okay, forgive me, you know, and... forgiveness is in order. So I'm glad he stood his ground and stuck with his statement. You know, mm-hmm. Jim, in this day and age, leadership demands that we not look at the next election, but that we look at what we're doing to transform and serve our communities. I feel, you know, I know I'm on the ballot coming up, but I am not as committed to that ballot as I am to making sure that I do what's right and just for the people of this community. I've got to go home and sleep at night. I've got grandchildren. I want them to have a bright future. I care about the citizens of this community, regardless of the color of their skin. I want to see us move forward progressively and with and making equity and inclusion part of the fabric of our community. And sometimes leadership is not popular, the stance that you take, but you have to take them. And this is a moment that leaders across America are standing up and speaking out, and you've got to. If they don't seize this moment, when will they speak up?
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. Holly in the Garden District asks if the president is somewhat responsible for the division in our country.
You know, I will tell you this. A leadership guru once said that everything rises and falls on leadership. And I think that certainly... unfortunately, our president has not contributed to unity in our country whatsoever. And the fact that you see Democrats and Republicans speaking to the absence of leadership to unify us speaks volumes right there. From President Barack Obama to President George Bush to the military, to Colin Powell, Republicans and Democrats, what the kind of leadership that people are looking for is not Democratic leadership. It's not Republican leadership. It's leadership that unifies a nation, that unifies a community. And sometimes it's tough getting there, but what you say, the words that you say out of your mouth are so influential in terms of your reflection of leadership and the ability to unify a community.
877-217-5757. Still time to get in with the mayor if you so choose. And a question from Chuck on Corsi asking if the mayor would support a law requiring law enforcement officers to intervene against other officers in situations like the George Floyd killing, noting that some cities have adopted these kinds of statutes and past week.
I certainly would like to see that law and examine it. But you know, the sad thing, Jim, is that do we have to have a law in place for people to see, for another colleague to see that another colleague is murdering someone, killing someone, and not speak up? That's what I'm talking about, our moral compass. You know, those officers who were complicit in that process, where was their moral compass? And so what you have, though, is this, a sentiment that you can't talk about your other brother or your other sister in blue if they do something wrong. But, you know, very basic, wrong is wrong and right is right. And if you are a guardian and a protector of what is right and what is just, then you should be speaking out if you see one of your colleagues doing something wrong. So I would definitely look at a law like that. But it's a shame that we have to have a law for people to speak up when they see something is wrong.
Now, COVID-19 and any other time would be the number one story. It was 12 weeks ago today that the governor imposed his stay-at-home order. We're now in phase two. How is that working at the city parish offices?
Well, we opened back up last week successfully, and we are certainly requiring people to wear masks when they come into the building. We did a lot of preliminary groundwork before that took place with our employees, and I just want to thank almost 4,000 employees of city parish government who have kept this city running during the COVID-19 crisis. Our essential workers and at every level of city parish government were there working to keep our city running. We did not have a void in services during that time. And so it's been almost a week since everyone has returned, two weeks now, that since everyone has returned. And things are flowing in city parish government. And of course, I have a weekly conversation, a teletown hall now with our employees so that they can speak directly to me about their needs and concerns.
Larry in Sherwood. Larry, you're on the air with the mayor. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Just a question, you know, as far as, you know, the Alton Sterling incident that come up, by no means did the man deserve, you know, to die and the way that that went down. But doesn't this all kind of start at the top? And I think a lot of times that it gets, you know, everything kind of comes from, you know, people want to go from the bottom up.
Explain to me what you mean by the top. I'm not sure I understand everything comes from the top. Explain that to me.
Well, like, you know, like with the district attorney and, you know, the way everything was played out and, you know, the choices that were made from the top down.
Okay, I understand now. So let me just say this. We have to, you know, I am being held. I had a group of young people in my office last week. They weren't skinning and grinning. They were holding me accountable. They wanted to know what I was doing in terms of police reform. They had certain demands and requests. Then they began to talk to me about other things that were going on in the community. And I would say that, you know, as elected officials, this is a heightened time of accountability, no matter what position you're in. And so I think that needs to take place at every level.
We'll be back to wrap it up with the mayor after this time. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're wrapping it up with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome, and then we go to Harriet Sugarman, and we'll talk about climate change, which is the existential issue. And we dodged a bullet with Crystal Ball. It turned out not to be the big event that some feared it would, although there is some flooding, and anytime that happens, there are repercussions, and we will follow that with you. Here's Steve Wenham, the former budget director for the great state of Louisiana in St. Francisville, saying, I wish I could vote for Sharon Broome. Her candor is wonderful, as is what she believes. We can take one more call. Alex in City Park. Alex, you're on with the mayor. You'll be our final caller today with Mayor Broome. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Jim. This is just a call, a positive call to offer my prayer and support to Ms. Sharon Broome. She's got a very challenging job, and you know, there's a lot of different perspectives and points of view. And I just want to offer my my support and prayer too, because she's a well-spoken lady, and you are too, Jim. You're a well-spoken guy.
All right. Mutual admiration society here. I like these callers better than others, but
Jim, do I have a minute to say? I want to thank you, Alex, for saying, especially about me having your prayers. You know, I am a praying woman. My faith leads and guides me. I believe that we all must choose faith over fear. That is the only path that's going to bring us to transformative change. We need more people praying for our community, and we need people to be doers of the word that we know. That's so vitally important. And at the core of everything that Jesus taught was to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think if we would act on that basic principle, it would take us a long way in life.
Amen. Thank you, Mayor. Let's do this again soon. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you and be safe. And we do still have a pandemic that is taking almost 3,000 lives in Louisiana and more than 110,000 in our nation.